Hello and welcome to today's episode of FEPS Talks, the official podcast of the Foundation for European Progressive Studies. I'm Matteo Dressler, a policy analyst here for Democracy and Participation in Youth, and I'm going to be your host today. And I'm delighted to welcome Sabrina Repp, who is a member of the European Parliament, with us today for our podcast. Hello, Sabrina.
Hi, nice to see you. Nice to be here.
And I think there's many good reasons to talk to you today. First of all, Sabrina is a newly elected, first-time member of the European Parliament, also one of the youngest ones in the European Parliament, and to my knowledge, also the youngest one of the S&D group. You may correct me if I'm wrong. And yeah, so I'm hopeful to also learn a bit about her perspective on bringing young people's issue also into European policymaking. And the second more current issue why I would like to talk to you is that we most recently had three state elections in Germany, regions, state elections in Brandenburg, Saxony and Thuringia, where we saw further problematic of more and more people voting far right and mainstream parties not doing so well. And it's great to have you with us here because you're also from the region, from Mecklenburg-Western Pomerania to be exact, which didn't vote, but still you're very familiar with the region. And we would also, I would also like to not talk about these elections only in German perspective, but also see a bit what they mean for Europe. So you've now been a member of the European Parliament for more than 100 days, 107 to be exact. I've counted them. So I'm wondering, how has your summer been as a member of the European Parliament? Were there maybe also some very surprising things you didn't think you would encounter in your work here in the Parliament in Brussels?
Yeah. First of all, I'm very happy to be a new member of the parliament. I think I'm the second youngest member in the whole parliament, and also, as you mentioned, the youngest member of the S&D group. So my summer, there are lots of things I have to organize, many new things I have to organize, and also many things I have to do, many meetings during the summer, and also maybe it is very important to get involved into many processes, like in my committee. So I'm in the committee of regional development, and also on the committee of education and culture. And you have to get involved into the processes, into the content. And so my time I've spent on summer was only to get involved into these processes. And also you talked about elections in the eastern part of Germany, and also I was there in Saxony, in Brandenburg, and also in Thuringia, and met many people and support their campaign for getting elected. And this was very, very important to be there and to share the perspectives of the social democratic future visions there. And maybe something that surprises me during the first months or days in the European Parliament was the debate on the election of Ursula von der Leyen. Because in that debate, for me, it was a surprise that the behavior of the far right, because in the debate, they screamed, they spread fake news, they attacked our democracy. And for me, it was a big freak show. It was maybe for someone, it was not really a surprise, but for me, it was okay. They are very, very harsh on the debate. And for me, it was a freak show. And for me, they show that they will do nothing for the voters. They only want to attack our democracy. They are not on a constructive way there. And this was very hard to see.
That's interesting that you say it, because connecting the dots a little bit, on the one hand, you say that it becomes quickly clear when you are in those debates,
yeah,
that they don't seem to actually represent the voter necessarily, actually doing things for them, doing policy for them that actually helps them in their daily life. Yet, as we've seen in the elections where you said you also campaigned yourself, they've done extraordinarily well. Of course, this is the east of Germany. It's a particular region in Germany. And as surprising and as shocking as some of the results were, and just to give a perspective, the AfD became the strongest party in Thuringia and became a close second, always around 30% in Brandenburg and Saxony. So despite all of that, people vote for them. So, and being in the campaign involved and also being from the region, of course, my question then is, why do you think people actually do vote for them the way they do, so turn out for them? And on the other hand, as important for social democrats as well, why don't they perhaps vote other alternatives which arguably would be much better for their daily lives and improving what they their day-to-day life?
Well, I think often people there are disappointed and maybe also disillusionated. For me, it is important that especially the politicians are in the conversation with the people from that regions and being really present in that local areas. But I think in the last years that don't happen. And so we have to do politics that includes everyone, and especially the people who are most affected by processes like transformation. And as I said, in the last years that not really happened in their region. And you also have a lack of representation, because often politicians are from the Western elite, if you want to say that so, and in so many areas, like in administration, in universities, in business. So this is a big problem for them, because we don't have that much people who are from the Eastern Germany in that fields. So a big lack of representation. And I think we should make politics with them and not about them. And this is a feeling that many people from these areas show us. So that we have to involve them more into our political processes, to talk to them, to be there as politicians, also as politicians from the European Parliament, because for them, Europe is so far away. And but Europe is a guarantee to democracy, to peace, to freedom, and to all that things. And we need to do to bring these topics to the people in this local areas, and to explain what we are doing all the time, and then we can take their trust.
Yeah, these are many things to work on then. To bring bring European topics, to improve representation also of Eastern Germany, Eastern German voices from the region to politics, and to also make people feel like they're heard. This is what you're saying. You also mentioned they're disappointed. I guess one dimension is indeed not feeling heard, perhaps.
Yeah.
That is one level of disappointment. From your experience during the campaigns, I guess you also talked to a lot of people.
Yeah.
What are some other dimensions of disappointment? Because I guess figuring out what exactly it is that people are disappointed about will help maybe also addressing these issues.
Well, I think during the 1990s, so there was a big movement in Germany to say, okay, we change something. We want democracy. We want to get involved into political process. But I think that's not really happens so far in the last 30 years. It is not only every time representation, but when you look at that, often people said, okay, in the eastern part of Germany, there are the poorest one, there are not the great jobs, and they had some other expectations during the unification, is it right?
Yeah, that's the term. Yes,
unification, and these expectations not already happened to them, and also for my generation. So when I talk to people on the streets, they say, okay, what you are talking about, the 1990s and something like that. But my parents were affected by these processes. And it is also a topic for my generation to do something that we have really equality between the Western and the Eastern part of Germany, and to get really unified. And this is, I think, a big topic we have to work on. Also to construct a really, really strong future vision, because there are lots of processes in transformation and in jobs and in industry, and it is important that we have there good jobs, we have a good education, that people, for example, my generation, who born there, that they can be there in the future and don't have to leave these regions and areas. I think that is very, very, very important.
Indeed. So I take from what you say, especially that, there's a wish to participate more, and that apparently there is a feeling that is not always provided by the parties which are there. So there's something to kind of mental note to work on. And also on what you say, to provide a future vision for a region, for a new generation as well, where may add, it's also a region which is in huge demographic decline, actually one of the regions hardest hit in Europe, probably by its an aging population, which brings me to another bigger question. What we've seen during these last elections, which is also a broader European trend, but was very prominent here in the last regional elections, which happened in the last couple of weeks, is that young people very strongly voted for far-right parties. It was the strongest party, again, in the youngest age group from 16 to 24 in two of the states, and was kind of still the first party also in Saxony, where it scored equal with the CDU, so the center-right parties. So my question is, what do young people see in a party that, coming back to what we discussed before, but especially the young generation, what do they see in a party which really promotes a kind of nostalgic past, which never has been there, and if you look even a little bit closer, doesn't really promise to change anything for good? So what, in your conversations with your peers, perhaps also during the campaign, what do young people see in this party?
I think often people I've met, and we are also talking about why young people vote for the AfD, for example, often people say, okay, it is only TikTok, because the AfD has a very strong campaign on TikTok. But I think that is too simple to say why they vote for that party. I think there today and in the last years, there were lots of crises that affects lots of young people. For example, how to get good education, a job, and maybe how to get involved into studies, into politics. And that were crises or questions young people have. And also that are future questions we have to answer. And in the last years, I think we do some politics not only, but often for the older generations. Not that much for young people. And also when we talk about education. So since 30 years, we are talking about that we have to change our education system, but nothing happens. I think that is also a question of expectations we young people have. And I think they are also, like as I said before, they are also disappointed and at sometimes also disillusionated to the politics, because often politicians say, okay, this is your perspective, this is important, but they do nothing after that, because there are some issues, some perspectives that we have to bring into politics, and some topics like education, we have to change something. But in the last years, it doesn't happen. And another thing maybe is that young people, yeah, see that. And they are thinking, oh, okay, but which parties, for which parties can I vote so that something happens? Maybe the Social Democratic parties, oh no, they are in the, they are, it's so-called establishment because they are in the governments. Also the Christian Democrats were in the government, and also other parties were in the government in the last years. So the only party who were not in that government, not only, but the party who is, yeah, the strongest party under that round is the AfD. So they think the AfD is the anti-establishment party who can change something for them. And they have very, very simple answers to all that big questions for the future. And for us, it is a big, big topic to say, okay, we build a strong future vision for the young generation, especially in all regions of Germany, especially that young people can be in that area, as I mentioned, where they are born, so that they have a good education, good jobs, and can be there in these areas to build that strong future vision is very important for them. And I think if we don't challenge that young, we lose the young people. And also, it is also a question of representation. So as we mentioned in the beginning, I am the second youngest member with 25 years old in the whole European Parliament. And young people say, okay, who can represent me in the political structure?
Yeah. The kind of DFD as like an anti-establishment choice. Next to, we haven't really mentioned it and talked about it. Also, the new party, interesting mix of nationalist and leftist politics, the Bündnis für Sarah Wagenknecht, which now came up in the East a lot, and we'll see what it all means for national politics as well. I want to kind of take a step back, because now we talked a lot about Germany. One thing that is often said about the Eastern region within Germany by observers, scholars looking, analyzing it, is that often you see trends that emerge in Eastern Germany come there first. So they're kind of a forerunner for what happens in the rest of Germany. And I would maybe even take a step further to Europe as well, without kind of oversimplifying things. Regions are different, but things like a weakened party system, I guess this is around since the early 1990s in the East. Now we see this increasingly also in the rest of Germany, and of course also in other regions across Europe. So I'm wondering, what are a couple of the things that you take from these particular, from the region, the problems the region in the East has, but as a European politician, that make you also think about political dynamics in the rest of Europe that you think we really need to look out for in the next 5 years? Choose next 5 years because this is kind of the institutional mandate you're currently in. What are a couple of things maybe from the region that might be a problem or challenge for the whole of Europe as well?
Yeah, well, as we can see in the eastern part of Germany, it is very similar to the whole European Union, because in the last 30 years, the politics in Europe were Western politics. And especially when we look to our Eastern Europe countries, then we can see, okay, we have some questions about jobs, we have some questions about how they live there, migration, and so on. And as we can see, what we have in Germany during the unification has also happened in the whole European Union. And we share a similar history in the eastern part of Germany with these countries like Poland and Czech and Hungary and so on. And it's very important that we are connected to this history, because then we can see that also the European Union is not that... the standards are not in every region on the same level. And in the last years, in a next years we have to face on that different standards they have there. And I think this will be a very big issue. And also that is something I can bring from the eastern part of Germany into a European level, because there are questions like transformation processes, like good jobs. They are often in the western part of Europe, not in the eastern part. It is also a question of trust in democracy and democracy structures. And there we can see there are many problems on trust in democracy that are similar in maybe Hungary and Poland, maybe also in the eastern part of Germany. And I think we need to bring that perspectives on a level so we can say, okay, maybe this is different, maybe this is similar, and then we can face that problems. But often it is so, okay, also a German perspective, what have we to do with this part of Europe or with our but they are our neighbors, and we share a similar history, so we face similar problems, so we have to work on together according to challenge it. I think this is very, very important. And so Europe guarantees democracy. Europe guarantees prosperity for all regions, and also peace and freedom. And it is important that when you have regional governments, like in Poland or in the eastern part of Germany, that the European Union shows that there is the institution that protects you from the far right, that protects you from autocratic systems, because you have rights, because you have human rights, and we protect you for the people who wants to attack them. So I think that's very important, what we can learn according to these perspectives on a European level. So, but also the European Union must realize that there is a big responsibility to that. I really don't know if this is very that this is in the head of the commissioners and so on, that they have a big responsibility according to the national states, that if there are far right governments, that the European Union have to protect their rights in the national states.
Yeah, that is actually also the kind of perfect connection to your personal work, let's say, in the committees here in the parliaments. You already mentioned that we have to see maybe also the similarities between some regions, Eastern Germany being a region, but also kind of the living standards or cultures in other more Eastern member states, like in Poland, Hungary. And you do indeed work for the Committee on Regional Development. So making some of the things you mentioned, like the European Union has to do something, we can all agree, and rights and so on. And this is very important, and let's work on that. But for you particularly working in this very committee, like, what is the type of concrete work you think you will be working on in the next 5 years that can actually help alleviate some of these challenges, maybe? Work towards more equal living standards between different regions. Sure. What are some of the concrete things that people can also expect?
I think it is equal living standards. It is also, in the last, you asked me at the beginning, what are some learnings? My 107 days. but one learning is that it is very important that people in the REGI committee not only are talking about their special regions and areas. It is important that we bring these problems or challenges we have to face on a next level. So it is important that we build up their good jobs everywhere in the European Union, a good education standard, especially for young people. That is very important. And also when we are talking about facing the challenges of the transformation, it is important that no region fall from the desk. So it is important that everyone and politics includes everyone in these processes. No one is left behind. I think that is very important according to the work on a RIGI committee. But also, I don't know if you saw the commissioners or the round table. Ursula von der Leyen is sharing with us. So you, as you can see, there's Fito from the...
Indeed.
Yeah.
So you have an interesting counterpart.
From the other institutions. Fratelli in Italy. And there we can see there are many problems with him, not only because he is from the post-fascist party, Fratelli. It is also a topic on he maybe will be the commissioner who has to bring Europe, the European Union together. I think he will divide the European country and split it, and this will be very hard. And I think there we can see that the topic on regional development is not in the priorities that high as it have to be. It has to be on a very, very high level, because 1/3 of the money we can share in the European Union is cohesion policy, and this is much money we have to bring, especially in that areas, especially in the region where it is most needed. And if we have there a commissioner who, I really don't know what he is thinking about the European Union, but the Fratelli is very skeptic about the European Union, and I think this is not good. So we have to build a very strong alliance to protect the cohesion policy for people like him, and this will be a big task in the next days and also months, I think.
Indeed, I guess the SND and other progressives have their work cut out for them to also prepare the most critical questions in the hearing of the commissioner designate Fito, to kind of see if he is at least willing to do a little bit of a vision of a common Europe, rather than kind of this far right vision of maybe a European Union but with much stronger nation states. I have one last question, because we are already getting towards the end. I was wondering if you perhaps can recommend us three books, podcasts, films that have helped you, inspired you in recent months to understand a bit better the context of Eastern Germany, or also regional development, anything that you're kind of working on at the moment, also for our listeners to maybe dive deeper than we could in these 30 minutes.
Yeah. So in the last months and days, I had not that much time to read something. I'm sorry for that. But one book I read was a German book from Stefan Mau. And he mentioned the perspective of the eastern part of Germany, so that he says, okay, maybe there is another political culture and we have to accept it, and we have to find how we can face it. So it is not really every time, okay, the view of democracy, maybe it is different from the eastern part of Germany, and maybe when we get the next step to accept that, we can see how we can face on it, how we can challenge with that. This was very interesting for me, and also maybe a podcast. maybe you see that podcast, you can have a look at the FEBS podcast, because
you definitely should. You definitely should, and you probably are when you're listening to that.
And this is very interesting for me, because you faced on so many topics and so different decision makers and so different perspectives of the national states of the European Union. And I think that's very that are maybe two things, but I hope it's okay.
Yeah, definitely. And I can highly recommend for those listeners that are able to read German the book of Steffen Mau, and which is called Ungleich vereint.
Yes.
It is very hard to translate. Anyway, it has some good suggestions also to go more towards participatory democracy and kind of linking that with the party democracy we have for regions like the East, where party democracy to a large extent is struggling. And I can also recommend, of course, some of the FEBS publications we have on young people, our series Builders of Progress, where we recently have looked into what connects disadvantaged young people to democracy, or what also maybe keeps them from a democracy. And we are also currently looking into how young people have voted in the European elections. So keep your eyes peeled for that. And with that, I'll say goodbye. Thank you for being with us, Sabrina, and hope to talk soon again. And good luck with all the important work you have in front of you.
Yeah, and thank you for your work.
Thank you. Goodbye.